Senator Anderson is calling you, Mr. President. He's not on. Should I put him on?
No.
Thank you. Put him on.
Right.
Hello.
He's scared you right
Hello.
Now.
Hello. Yes?
I think the finance company did, the committee did something foolish yesterday, Mr. President. They reported out that Curtis amendment to the meat bill. Now, Mike Weinfield had an amendment which was endorsed by 26 other people, and most of them Democrats. It included support from Gail McGee and Moss, and those boys are going to be in trouble out there in the West. But instead of that, Curtis offered his amendment, and all the Democrats except Paul Douglas and me voted for it. Mike's amendment should have carried. Curtis' amendment should never have carried. I wanted to know if you object if I go ahead and raise a little hell about this and suggest they hold up until they find out what the wishes of the administration might be between the two amendments. Curtis' move is purely political, I think, Mr. President. He hopes you'd veto it. Then they can go to these western states and say, Johnson's against the cattlemen. With the other amendment, you at least might have a chance to sign it. I think you could sign it. I know the department's opposed to it, but I believe you could sign that one. I don't think it'd hurt too much. And that would help Moss, it would help McGee, and I think help you. And I've talked to Mike this morning. He's a little sensitive about bringing up his own amendment again, but he said he would do it if he thought there was some hope of getting help on it.
Clint, I don't know the difference between the two, and I would be guided a good deal by your judgment on the matter. I know you know it. I'm asked him to call you yesterday or last night about Albert Mitchell, and I think the boy got sick and didn't get a chance to, but I'm going to name a couple of Republicans to this study group on prices, this investigation we're making of producer-food chain store relationships, and I can't really name somebody from the chain store, from the cattle industry, but he's retired and his boy's running it, they tell me.
Yeah.
And Secretary of Agriculture would take him. And
he's the Republican National Committeeman, but he's your friend.
Well, what I want is a Republican that won't be that'll try to help us find the real truth.
He would.
And so that's what I'm going to do. Now back to this amendment. I'm real interested in cattle, and I've had the best people in our state in here. We produce more than any state in the union. I've called in the Prime Minister of Australia and the Agriculture Minister of New Zealand. I've talked to the Ambassador from Ireland, and we realize that imports this year and last year were excessive. They're not the real problem, but the people believe they are, so if they believe you are, why, that's just as bad as Ben almost. What we jumped our supply from 92 million to 106, and until we eat it up, why, we just got that problem. And we got Australia, we took this amendment, told them that Mansfield was shoving it, and it's very dangerous and very difficult for the president on all these cattle states. And we ship $24 billion worth of stuff out of here every year, and we only bring in $18 billion, so we can't raise too much hell about people sending stuff in when we're sending it out ourselves, and we got a $6 billion balance. So we got them to agree voluntarily, Ireland and New Zealand and Australia, the principal importing groups, to reduce their imports. Australia reduces hers 38%, New Zealand 23%, to where by the end of this year, just what they're cutting back now from June to January, that we will import less this year than the five-year average, which is what Mansfield's amendment covered. We would achieve the same result as Mansfield without being on record right at the time when we're demanding to send agricultural products into Europe, of saying we won't accept them in our own country. And it just screws us up on our trade policies and our trade bill and everything else. So we got them to voluntarily agree to it. Now,
and it has worked.
And it's worked, and it's working now, and the price is up, and we're back. We're ahead yesterday. We got more for cattle than we did a year ago. So we moved it back, and it's going to get better all the time. And furthermore, we are just getting ready to put on the damnedest exporting campaign you ever saw. Our first ship has already landed, and they're eating their meat like nobody's business. And we're going to, England and France, or Germany, are all short of beef. So we're going to turn it around. Instead of us being important here, we're going to export the hell out of it. And Australia and New Zealand are already diverting their shippers to the English market because they get more for it there than they do here. And they could afford to voluntarily agree to it. Now, if we come along and by legislation say we're going to cut out this, and they come along by legislation say, well, we'll cut off that much from America, and it just starts a damn gang war that we can achieve, we can get the same results without it. So that's what I hope. Now they tell me Carl Albert, he's a big cattleman, got a cattle district down there on the Texas-Oklahoma border. He told me last night, said, now, I've held this thing up. I've done everything I can. They're trying to get an opponent for me. But I just see that it's suicidal for the United States to start legislating. We can't sell anything. Said, hell, we won't be shipping it. People won't be buying or cutting anything else. And said, what you've done is put that on as an amendment, and I can't hold it over here. It's an amendment to a House bill.
That's right.
And said, anyone can apply for a rule, and the Republicans will give them a rule. And when it votes, it'll be passed. And
said
it's just as dangerous as it can be, and I wish you'd get a hold of them in the morning. So I thought I'd call them this morning and see what I could do about it, but I don't know.
Well, he ought to hold it up in any event, shouldn't he?
I'd hold it up as long as I could, Clint.
You authorized me to tell Mike?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Tell him that I just think it would be disastrous. Tell him you call me. Don't let him think I'm going around it.
I did call you.
Tell him you call me, and I said that we're achieving the same results. We can prove to him that we are. I'll send the Secretary of State and Secretary of Agriculture to show them if they don't have any doubt about it. But if this hits the House, it'll just be a Republican move, and they'll win the votes, and it'll hurt Gail McGee and hurt all of us.
It'll hurt them bad.
And it'll hurt me as a cowman having to veto it.
That's right.
And
right,
Rayburn, one time, he wanted to vote for the Taft-Hartley bill, but when Truman told him he was going to veto it, or Roosevelt, whoever it was, he said his majority leader, he couldn't afford to be crossways with his president. That embarrassed hell out of me to veto something in my majority leaders for, you see.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know what I'd do with the rest of the world.
You'd have to veto the Curtis rule, Mr. President. You just couldn't do otherwise. It's got pressed meats and everything else in there that the Mansfield Amendment didn't have. It has no growth factor. It cuts it below what you could expect otherwise. The way you worked it out now, the Argentine and Brazilians wouldn't be too much offended by the Mansfield Amendment. They wouldn't like it. But
they say it would break our agreement. They entered into an agreement.
I will stand in the gun and fire this stuff as long as I can to stop it.
Right.
But Paul and I cast the only two votes against it.
Well, get up there and just raise hell and tell them you're going to filibuster. You ain't going to let it pass.
All right.
Okay. Bye.